I knew a man whose name was Arthur. And Arthur was a gentleman of the old school. He was quiet, living, modest, courteous, mannerly, just a nice man to know. So I said to his wife, Jean, one day, Arthur's a lovely man. I said, he's so thoughtful and interested in other people and a good listener. And she said, yes, but you don't have to live with him. And of course, you know the saying that you don't know somebody until you've lived with them, until they've been present with you. I used to conduct marriages in the prison, and I never quite understood what was going on, because the bride came, or the bride-to-be came to the prison with her two witnesses. She arrived at the gate, was searched, brought into the prison chapel. The prisoner was brought from his cell. We conducted the wedding service. We had a mug of tea or coffee, and then the bride went home. And I thought, what kind of marriage is this, where the groom and the bride are not going to be present, bodily present, to each other? I never understood. Sometimes these boys had years to serve, and still they wanted to be married. Of course, there are other ways of knowing people without them being present. Today, of course, using social media, things like Facebook and Instagram and so on, you can have great relationships with people that you've never met, but it's not quite the same, is it, than it is to meet somebody in person, to have them present, to be present, is everything. And of course, that's what happened on the evening of the first Easter day. Luke tells the story of the two men on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus joined them, and they didn't know that it was Jesus. They didn't know that he was present. But that evening he came to the other disciples, and St. Luke says he came and he stood among them. He came and he was present with them in the body. And the New Testament goes out of its way to emphasize the bodily presence of Jesus Christ. On the resurrection morning, the tomb is empty. There is nobody there, because this body has now been resurrected and Christ is risen and present. And he comes to the disciples and he says, touch me. Here I am. He says to Thomas, put your hand forward, put it in the place where the nails were. And he says, give me something to eat. So the bodily presence of Jesus is emphasized throughout the New Testament. And of course, the Christmas story, St. John says, the Word became flesh, became body, and dwelt among us. This is no ghost. This is no otherworldly presence. This is a presence that is as real as a body beside you. It makes all the difference when Christ is near to you, and when you know he is present. You may have been to Sunday school, you may know your Bible, you may know what Jesus said, you may know about the miracles, you may know about what he did, you may even come to church, but to know that he is present with you is a completely different order of knowing. To know that he is near is everything. Our first washing machine, my mother bought in the 1950s. There was no ordinary washing machine. It was a Parnell, or a Parnell. And it was a top-loading twin tub, right? So you put the washing in one side and it washed. And then after the wash was over, you had to get it out of there into the spinner, which was the other tub. And of course you get a big pair of wooden tongs to do this, because the clothes were roasting hot. So you lifted the clothes out and you put them in the spinner. Now, there are two things that I remember about our Parnell washing machine. The first is that you couldn't leave it unattended. You couldn't go and do the shopping while it was on. Oh no, you had to be present. And the reason was that when it started to spin at 1,000 revs a minute, whatever it was, the machine used to jump across the floor. You see, and then somebody had to be present to push it back in to where it belonged, and it would come out again. Now the second thing was even worse, I remember, about this Parnell, which was that it used to leak. And the water, this foamy water, used to spread across the floor. And I remember my mother saying to me, go down to the club. My father used to go regularly, far too regularly, to the ex-servicemen's club. And she said, go down, tell your father that what's happened and that he'll need to come home and fix this. So I went down and I told my father, and my father, who was not for leaving the club, said, tell her to put the tap off that's under the sink and stop the water getting into the machine, and tell her to put off the electricity at the mains, and tell her to turn the dial at the front to zero. So I went home and I said to my mother, my father says, Daddy says you have to go under the sink, turn off the tap, you have to put off the electricity, and you have to turn the knob to nothing. And my mother says, go back down there. And this is the point of this rather extended illustration. She said, go back down there and tell him that I need him here. I need him here. I don't want him to tell me what he did when he was here. I don't want his advice or his instructions. I need him here. It's a bit like that with Jesus. It's a bit like that with our Lord. You may know all about the advice that he gave. You may know all about what he did, what the disciples did. But to have him here, to feel I need him here, is of a different order. To know that he is present. Richard Holloway who is a broadcaster and writer, and was at one time the Episcopal Bishop of Edinburgh, wrote a book called In the Distance. And in that book he describes how one evening, returning from a meeting across moorland on a warm summer's evening, he drew into a lay-by somewhere on the moors just to sit for a minute, and he rolled down the window of his car and he could hear birds and he could see the sun setting, and he felt the warm summer breeze on his face. And he describes how sitting there in the absence he felt a presence. To feel a presence in the absence. We do not see Jesus as the disciples saw him. We cannot touch him as he invited them to do. But it was he who said, blessed are those who, though they don't see, yet believe. And maybe what he really meant was, blessed are those who, though they don't see me, know that I am present. He came and he stood among them, and they knew that he was there. What is more to be treasured in our faith than to know that he is present and near, to sense it, to be sure of it? So whatever is going on in your life, or whatever one day may go on in your life, say to him, I need you here, and he will be closer than you dare believe. Amen, and thanks be to God for his word.